Attention, all curious minds, innovators, and trendsetters. It's time to pause, lean in, and get ready for an extraordinary journey as we dive deep into the fascinating realms of life, technology, entertainment, and business. Let's explore, learn, and grow together. Brace yourselves, for the next thrilling episodes of Hit Their Talks is about to take off. Counting down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And here we go.
Hi everyone, Zoltan here. We're back again this week, and this time we are sticking to the iGaming industry where our roots are coming from. So today I have with me Tom Ustinel, a new CEO of Sporting Tech. Hi Tom, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So we have a tradition here on our podcast when we ask our guest to say a few words about himself in his own words. This is not pre-written or anything, so usually it comes from the heart. So Tom, just say a few words about yourself and of course about Sporting Tech.
Thank you. So yeah, look, as you said, it's not pre-scripted, so this is coming directly at you from the heart. So I've been in the industry over 20 years now, and I think I'm fortunate to say that I actually started at the bottom. I was a product manager, and I've worked my way up through the ranks to now CEO. So I've kind of seen it at all levels. But what that does for me is I've seen the business from the bottom up, how to build products, how to manage projects in the industry, the changing evolution of the industry over the last 20 years. As more and more regulations has kicked in, which has obviously changed the way we work and we deliver products and services. So I've got quite a lot of experience, and I think we'll touch upon that through the course of this podcast. And I've got to say that I think I'm quite blessed to be in an industry that I can genuinely say I really enjoy working with. In fact, I can actually say that I love working in the gaming industry. As most people, there's almost a saying we say that the industry is quite incestuous. I think that's a good thing. Wherever we're at an event or we're dealing with some partnerships, there's always somebody on the other side that you know or have worked with. Of course, that can come with some negatives as well. Sometimes it might be someone who you don't like so much and you are still have to work with them. But overall, I've been in the industry quite some time now, and this is my first role as CEO, and looking forward to the challenge here at Sporting Tech.
All right, so that was a great introduction. It's nice to have a veteran over here, been in the industry since 2008, so 16 years for me as well. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of changes going on, a lot of new CEOs coming and going. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're in this role for 3 months now. And since you stepped into the role of CEO of Sporting Tech, could you tell me how is it going and what have you learned since then, given the fact that you have such a huge background and experience?
I was supporting the team in a consultancy capacity, so I got to know the management team fairly well over the last year or so. And one thing that's really struck out was the quality, and I do mean this absolutely genuinely, the quality of the people that we have at a senior management level, but also through the ranks. I spend a lot of time out in Bulgaria where our development team is, and it's lovely to see the depth of talent that we actually have. I think for me, coming into the role as CEO, really the key was to unlock some of that potential. It's there within the teams. It's there within the management structure. It was just enabling those teams to thrive. And I think that's for me, that's the role of a CEO. I once had a CEO that told me, he said, I have the easiest job in the world. My job is to make sure that the people under me, who are the subject matter experts, get what they need to be able to perform their jobs at the highest standard. And that's stuck with me. So here, my job is to make sure that we unblock the barriers, anything that's in the way of either the management team or the staff from performing their jobs. So that's kind of where I see what I'm doing and enabling the team to do what they need to do.
All right. So for those who don't know, maybe a new CEO comes in, they start beating people up to start working harder. That's not Tom. All right. So So, how will
Definitely.
your experience, your previous experience in senior roles across the industry influence the direction you take at Sporting Tech? And what are your aims for coming in the coming months? Because I know that there are plenty of conferences happening, and it's semester one is very, very crowded. So,
Yes.
what's your aim?
Well, I like that question. And there's a lot of questions in there, so I'll try and break it down. So over the years, and I think for most people who've spent who aren't just starting out in their careers, what they will do as they go from job to job, you'll see things that how to do things and sometimes how not to do things. You see good management and you see bad management. And I think for me, now that I am in this role, I'm trying to look back over the years and go, well, where have I seen something done really, really well? Whether that's running a data team or the onboarding of new staff or the delivery of products, where have I seen that well? And where have I seen bad management? Where have I seen blockers to businesses going forward? So with that's where the experience helps me, I think, in that day-to-day to try and guide through that. And as you said, the second part of it was around how much there is. There is a lot ongoing. As you said, there's a lot of conferences. I'm fortunate to have an excellent sales and marketing team who go out and prepare our stand. And I have to put this in now, the team won best stand at ICE as well for Sporting Tech. So, very,
Congrats.
very proud of their achievement. Yeah, thank you. So very proud of their achievements. But again, I think going back to what I was saying is for me to stop bad management practices, bad processes, and to enable where I think we can excel and enable those teams to perform better based on what I've seen and how people do things. There's that age-old saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I like that because if you don't have the right culture, you're not going to perform. If your culture is not of your staff, your entire teams, in line with your vision, it just won't work. So a lot of my first steps coming in was to look at the culture and try and shift that to a high performance output team. And as I said earlier on, thankfully the management team is so great that we are well on track to achieve that.
All right. So for those who don't know, because we do have a audience that are not in the iGaming industry, because we're also covering blockchain and AI.
Yes.
ICE is the mecca of the gambling industry, where every year people gather around 40,000 people, and to have a stand that wins an award, it's a very big deal, given the fact that there are probably around 1,000 exhibitors over there.
Yes. Yeah. It's as you said, it's a very, very big exhibition held in London Excel, and there's delegates from literally across the planet, and many, many, many operators and suppliers that obviously have stands there. So, yeah, as you say, I'm very proud of what the team achieved.
All right. So, as you mentioned, you have previously worked with Sporting Tech in consulting capacity before joining as CEO. So, what attracted you to this permanent role, and what stands out about the team and in the role, probably even the salary? You can mention that.
I will go back to this because it is genuinely what attracted me the most was the quality of the management team. We're lucky recently we've just had a new chief person officer start quite literally this week. And one of the things that she said when she was in the first exec meeting was what an incredible management team that we've got because people work well together. The one thing that's always been something that really puts me off is politics in a company, because I find that it really blocks growth, it blocks personal development, it creates unnecessary drag weight on some of the staff. I want to create a place that people are proud to turn up at work. I want a place that the word I use quite a lot internally is trust, and to have trust. I don't mean necessarily. It's also with our partners, as in our operators, but also internally. The fact that the staff trust us, the fact that our suppliers trust us. So to create that, I felt that I needed an environment. So to answer your question, what attracted me was to be, could I achieve that at Sporting Tech? And the answer was genuinely, I can, because a management team are also aligned with that vision. And that is really a big part of what attracted me in terms of creating something 4, 5, 7, 8 years down the line that would be really quite exciting, that we can all, everybody from the kind of the juniors that are just coming on board, that can turn around to their friends, you know, I'm proud to work there. That's a really good company. And that's kind of what attracted me to create that.
All right. So up until now, people are starting to realize that you are a people-centered person, and that's very important in a company. So Sporting Tech has recently announced, and we covered it, a 3-year partnership with the Malta Trust Foundation, reaffirming its person-centered approach. And just want to ask, why is it engaging in the communities you operate so important?
I think it goes back to that trust element. And my wife always says, you know, charity starts at home. So we started looking internally to look after our staff, hence why we've got a new chief person officer as well, to make sure that we look after our staff, we look after our management, we look after our clients, we look after the partnerships we have. But when you go beyond that, actually, as an industry, I think we need to do more in terms of helping communities. Look, we are fortunate, we were one of the only industries during COVID, because everyone was locked in and online, the industry didn't suffer that badly. So I think, as generally, I think the industry needs to give back, and I think we do. There's a lot of charity events that are held by a lot of the big operators. We give to charities, but it's also something that I think for Sporting Tech, it's something that's really true to our core, to make sure that it isn't just about making money. Of course, that's important for any business to keep you alive and to keep growing, but it isn't the only driver for our business. Giving back to communities, giving back to people is really important too.
Yeah, it's important. It's very important. And you guys, I know that you are very strong, and we can say a leading provider in the Latin American market, the LATAM, how people call it, and it's much more easier to just write it. What will your focus be in the region over the coming months, particularly now that and Brazil, Mexico, Colombia, and Peru are opening up? Brazil is huge. I know that we covered it many times, if starting from last October when the rumors were just coming out. Now it's huge. So what is your focus in there?
Well, look, you're right. It's really exciting. A lot of my career has been in more European and US, where it's obviously highly regulated. What was interesting for me to go to these markets that are regulating or regulated was still the huge opportunity, you know, the population size, the mobile phone penetration, all of that makes it a really, really exciting place for us to be and operate. And one thing that you also notice when you're there is a lot of the operators are actually run by very young individuals. You'll go there and you'll see that the affiliates, the other partnerships, or they're run by 20 something guys and girls. And what that does for me, it actually creates quite an exciting environment, because they're bringing fresh ideas. They're bringing, how do we bring traffic via social media? I know we do that here, but they do take that to quite another level. So our focus is really to tap into that. We don't know the LATAM market as well as they do, but we are now putting more people on the ground. We've recently put another person into Brazil. This morning, I found out our sales director is also going to spend more time in Brazil and in LATAM. So we are making more inroads to, for us to, from a product perspective, but also personnel perspective, to be closer to where our customers are ultimately.
All right. So as you were saying this, I quickly looked up about the median age of the Brazilian population, and it seems that it's 32.4 years, which is relatively very young. So that's why there's such a great demand, and most probably this is good because the next generation, Gen Z, who is starting their ventures or businesses are might be tapping into the iGaming industry, and also the players are need to be attracted, not just millennials, because Gen Z is the next one that is very hard to convince to start maybe wagering or stuff like that. So how is Besides this, I'm interested in how is sporting text technology placed to meet the needs of those looking to grow their presence in Brazil, and have you learned anything new from your attendance at the industry events this year? I know there was one or two, and will that influence product development in the future?
Absolutely. I think if you ask probably any CEO, they'd say what's important is localization, that you have a product that is localized for that market. And I genuinely think our product is very, very localized to LATAM, and it works very well. We've taken a number of our operators from virtually from zero to tier one status in a matter of a couple of years. So the product works very, very well there. And what do I learn from kind of the industry events and going around? What I've seen is the market is maturing very, very quickly. In the UK, the market probably took 15 years of maturity in terms of penetration of certain types of games. But in Brazil, they are, to give you one example, they're not necessarily a slots, culturally slots focused society. In the UK, we're very used to it with bingo halls, casinos, but they're not. But the adaptation of slot games online is really catching up. So what's interesting is the speed at which that market is maturing towards where Europe is. I would say Europe was probably 10 or 15 years ahead of that market, but LATAM has very, very quickly caught up. And as you said, because of that young influence, they're doing things actually slightly differently. The use of influential influencers for marketing, for
Yep.
example, the way they integrate that is really clever. And we here in Europe don't do that as much. And it was just interesting to see their take on marketing. It's a lot more recommendation based rather than a massive advertising campaign that will drive your traffic. So it's different. And as I said, the platform has to be able to tap into that.
They want more World Cup spawns probably, and that's
Yeah,
why.
it helps.
All right, so my final question to you is about the you know that it's already March and we will blink one or twice and it's already December again and the year has gone by. So reflecting on these strategic initiatives and partnerships you highlighted, how do you envision these shaping the future of sporting tech and its position within the global industry by the end of the year, let's say?
Yes, I mean, look, we had some, being quite transparent here, we had some quite foundational issues that we had to resolve, including some data center moves. We had to re-architecture some of the platform. So there were some kind of foundational things that we had to get out of the way. And, you know, touch wood, we're actually making very good progress. So what does the second half of that, the year look like? I know everybody says innovation, innovation. I'm not going to say we're going to reinvent the gambling wheel, but what we will do is look at areas where we can excel, where we can have a competitive advantage and actually lead the industry. And it goes back to some of the things that I was saying earlier about what does sporting tech stand for. So if you fast forward even further than that, 5 years, and our operators are talking about us, what are they saying to each other? What do they say about sporting tech? And what would make us proud to hear them say that? And I think one of them I would like to hear them say is, you know, they understand our business and they have created products and the way they work to support us grow our business. So I think for me, that's where the kind of my head is at in terms of innovation. It's not innovation for the sake of innovation, it's innovation that helps those operators actually compete in that market and stay ahead of their competitors.
All right. So I wish you all the luck in the world and let's huddle up next year and talk more about these. And with this, I would like to thank you for your time, Tom, and just if you want to give some shout outs to the audience, be my guest.
I mean, look, as I said at the beginning, I would like to shout out to everybody in the sporting tech team. The dev team this year, since I took over, we had some real technical debt, and they've done a sterling job with getting some of those projects up to speed. And we really are on track to deliver against some of our big initiatives. So, a big shout out to all of the people at Sporting Tech helping us achieve our vision. And also, want to say a massive thank you for inviting me to your podcast. Thank you.
It's our pleasure, and it's always our pleasure to highlight such people like you. All right, so people, thank you so much for joining us this week. We will be back again next week with even more HipTory talk. Take good care. Goodbye.
And that's a wrap for this section of HipTory Talks. Thank you for being a part of our journey today. Don't forget to tune in next week for more insights and discussions. Stay connected with us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and more. Until then, keep exploring and keep growing. We'll see you next time.